Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, content, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, as well as the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas.
Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I am David Harris, and I have here with me today Terry Jackson, good friend of mine, brother that preaches over at the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. We have Kerry absent today. He is doing some, little deer hunting. As he and his wife went up into the mountains to do a little deer hunting, and Terry has decided that he will step in and fill the shoes of Kerry Clark today, and we're so thankful that he agreed to do that. Now, I want to remind you, this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call in, write this down, 254-445-2473. If you don't want to talk to us on the air, we will have a couple of commercials on this program. You can call in then, or if you would like, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, normally, we are on the web, live streaming on the web, and you could contact us through there too, but we are having some kind of a technical difficulty. I don't even know what they call it, but we don't have the web today, so you can't do that. You've got to stay within the listening distance of the airwaves, but the number is 254-445-2473. Now, what we try to do here on this program is tell you what the Bible has to say. You have heard what men have to say. Now we want you to hear what the Bible has to say. And that is our sole purpose here, is to correct some error and to try to teach exactly what the Bible has to say without any kind of an opinion or any kind of a feeling that any of the hosts on this show have. And so today we're going to continue our stroll through the Bible, and we are in the book of Mark. And we've been in the book of Mark. We're taking a passage out of each chapter of the book of Mark, and we're working on that. And we are asking and answering the question, who is Jesus? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they gave him several answers. Some said Elijah, some say John the Baptist or one of the other prophets. Every one of those answers that were given about who Jesus was, they were all wrong. And we find that even in today's society, that people have an idea of who Jesus Christ is, but we need to know exactly who this man is, and that's the reason we're going through and taking this stroll through the Bible. Now, so far in the book of Mark, we have found that Jesus is a man of prayer. He is a man of logic. He is a man who is impartial. He's powerful. He is our dearest friend. He is a man of peace, and he did everything well. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is servant to all, and he's a man of principle. And today, what we're going to do is continue what we barely did get started a couple of weeks ago when we had to answer a question. Jesus is also a man of firmness. And we need to understand that, because Jesus was not a weak man by any stretch of the imagination. Jesus was meek but not weak, and he was extremely firm, and the dictionary has this quote about firmness: belonging to the will and constancy to the affections and principles. And without firmness, a man has absolutely no character at all. And so you can't have any character without some kind of firmness. No man is respected who is not firm on issues. And that's what we've got to be, and that's what Jesus was. And on his last week here on this earth, Jesus Christ preached several sermons, but toward the end of his fleshly existence here on this earth, he preached sermons all about authority. And I think it's interesting that he did this. He chose authority as the topic of his preaching for the last week of his existence here on this earth. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Kerry, and we are in Mark chapter 12 for those of you who have your Bibles, and remember the telephone number, 254-445-2473. 2473. We welcome any question. We welcome any comment. Please do call. And we're going to read what happened in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. I'm going to turn it over to Kerry, and he's going to read that, and then we'll make some comments over the passage that is being read. Terry?
Okay, David. I'm Terry, by the way.
Oh, did I call you Kerry?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's
well, okay. His wife's named Terry.
That's right. Okay, David. I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 12. Start in verse 18 and read down to verse 27. One of the things that you might recognize is I am reading out of the New King James Version. Start at verse 18. Then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leave his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken.
Now, one thing that we want to make a little comment here about the difference between the New King James and the King James Version. Both of these versions are correct. However, the King James Version says, you do greatly err, when the New King James says, repeat that for us there, Terry?
You therefore are mistaken because you do not know the Scriptures.
Okay, you're mistaken because you don't know the Scriptures. You do err because you don't know the Scriptures. They both mean the same thing. To be mistaken or to err in particular means to go astray or to deviate from the true course. Now, what is interesting about this, Terry, I'm going to get it. It'll take me a while.
That's all right.
It's interesting that what we have here are some Sadducees, and I think those individuals are pointed out for a purpose. And tell us what the belief, the general belief of these Sadducees were. Now that we know these were some kind of religious leaders in the first century, but what did they believe and what didn't they believe?
Well, it's interesting that the Sadducees would bring up the question of the resurrection when they themselves did not even believe in the resurrection, nor did they believe in angels, nor the providence of God. They were a sect of the Jews that really didn't have a whole lot of influence with the Jews because of their beliefs. However, they're very instrumental in the fight against Jesus and considered him their enemy.
Well, the question itself, they're posing a very, very improbable situation. That a woman marries seven different men before she dies, and all of them are brothers trying to raise up seed of the family. Now, that part of the law of Moses was true. But now what they were trying to trick Jesus into coming around to was, whose is she going to be in the resurrection? Whose wife is she going to be? And that's when he told them, you do greatly err. That in heaven there is no marriage. You're not given in marriage, neither are you married. And these individuals are asking a question, and they don't even believe what they're asking. And we have that in religion today. People ask questions about religion, question about things that they don't believe themselves. And they come up with some of the most improbable situations that you can imagine and say, now, what do you got to say about that?
That's exactly right, and that's one of the things I think that's extremely interesting about this passage, because in trying to trap Jesus, they bring up a point that they don't even agree with. They're trying to make an argument that in their mind it doesn't even exist. So it's not about knowing the Scriptures. All this was about was trying to enslave Jesus to come up with an error. But he kind of turned the tables on him, didn't he, David?
Right, he sure did. We see this over and over and over in the New Testament. When people try to trick him, he will just turn it right back to them and make them give the answer that they didn't want to hear, or give them an answer that they didn't want to hear. Today, what we have are religions, a lot of them. There are, I don't know, somewhere around 2,000 different denominational bodies out there, and most of them all believe something different. So there's got to be something wrong here with what we're doing. Yet we're getting away from the Scriptures. When we get away from the Scriptures, we have nothing. Now, most of these religious denominational bodies, they claim that they believe the Bible. And there's one major religious denominational body out there that had a piece in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram this last week, and it really did catch my eye, and it was a piece about the Vatican. Now, the Vatican is where the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church is. Now, these people that made these comments in the paper, they are not ashamed of what they're believing here. They are not ashamed of it at all. As a matter of fact, they want everybody to understand what it is that they're doing, and they're doing it from the authority of the Vatican, which means it's got to come down from the Pope somewhere or another.
Exactly.
The head of that particular Catholic religion. Now, I just want to read just a piece of this. It says, the Vatican has called in experts to study the possibility of extraterrestrial life and its implication for the Catholic Church. Now, this Reverend Jose Gabriel Funes, an astronomer and a director of the Vatican Observatory, he says that there are possibilities of alien life. And he says it raises many philosophical and theological implications. And then I want to give you this quote. He says, quote, both science and religion posit life as a special outcome of vast and mostly inhospitable universe. There is a rich middle ground for dialogue between the practitioners of astrology and those who seek to understand the meaning of our existence in a biological universe. Now, he says more. He says, just as there is a multitude of creatures on the earth, there could be other beings, even intelligent ones, created by God. This does not contradict our faith because we cannot put limit on God's creative freedom. Now, Terry, when we read something like this from somebody who puts themselves up, they'll put themselves up to say that they believe in the Scripture, they believe in the truth of the Bible, and then they will say here that they are seeking the meaning of our existence in a biological universe, and they are saying beyond that, that there could be other beings, even intelligent ones, created by God. Now, the problem with this, Terry, is the Bible doesn't teach this.
Exactly.
The Bible teaches just exactly the opposite of what this man is trying to get across to other people. This is nothing a whole lot different than just evolution.
And in order to teach a lot of these new doctrines that is coming into being, and almost every week we're reading of something different that people are saying or people are teaching, especially in this area of evolution, or even theistic evolution, or in religion itself, the first thing that has to happen is you have to lay the commandments of God aside. And Jesus talked about that in Mark 7.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Verse 7 and 8 of Mark 7. And, well, let me read that, David.
Okay, read that.
And in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. Now, what the Pharisees were doing, same thing the Sadducees were doing. They were making great arguments to trap Jesus about things they didn't know anything about. But in order to do that, they had to lay aside the commandments of God. You have to do away with authority. And once you do away with authority, then you can bring in all of these what-ifs. Mm-hmm. Like this man has done.
Right. Well, when we have I'm going to call this a major denominational religious body. when you have a spokesman representing that major denominational religious body, and these individuals are saying that we can't know. We cannot know that there are not aliens out there because we just can't limit God's power. Well, I say, Terry, that we can know.
Yes.
We can know because of what the Bible has to say to us. Well, we can know exactly what God did in the creation. And one of the great problems with a major denominational religious body having something like this to say, one of the major problems that we're going to have with this is that some people are going to say, uh-oh, now all of these things that I've been told and contradicting evolution, well, maybe they are so. Now, I don't know how many people are going to read this. I don't know how many people are going to be focused on this. I do know that they're going to have a vast number of scientists involved in this great study through the Vatican. I was completely unaware that the Vatican even had an observatory. I didn't even know that.
But, that was new to me.
But they have now made a statement publicly that you can't know. Now, Terry, we know what the Bible has to say. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we are told there, according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the power of him, or through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Everything we ever wanted to know about life, everything that we ever wanted to know about godliness is in this book. So what I would suggest any and everybody do is take a Bible, and I want you to look with me and Terry and I want to get that straight. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1, because this is a very, very important passage of Scripture here. Terry, would you mind pointing out, just hit the high spots there about how God created the heavens and the earth and then the animals and how he created man?
When you go through the book, right at the very beginning, it tells us the origin of all life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formed without shape, that it was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face. For the first 24 verses, you have God creating all the things that we see, the flowers, the trees, the creation of the great lights, the creation of the earth. Well, then in verse 24, you have the creation of the animals. And then in verse 25 and 26, you have the crowning work of creation and creates man in his own image.
Now, in verse 31, after he had created everyone, everything, he said in verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening of the morning were the sixth day. Everything that he had made, and it was right here on this earth. Now, either that is a true statement, or it's not a true statement. Either God created man, the first man, Adam, and that was the first man that he created, or it's just absolutely false. There's nothing there. Now, we are told also that after those 6 days he rested, he was through creating. He was done there. So if it didn't come in the first 6 days, it couldn't be.
That's right.
And he looked at everything that he had made, and it was very good. So where in the world do you have the leeway now at this point to say something like this man Jose Gabriel Funes has to say? He says, just as there is a multitude of creatures on earth, there could be other beings, even intelligent ones, created by God, and this does not contradict our faith. Well, it may not contradict the Catholic faith, but it certainly contradicts what the Bible has to say. And our faith, by the way, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you've got the faith, you're going to get it out of the Word of God. You're not going to get it from those scientists. And for him to say it doesn't contradict their faith tells me that their faith is not coming from the Word of God.
Well, if you go back to the very first part of this article that we're talking about, first of all, it says this is a spokesman or spokesperson for the Vatican. You have to be a spokesperson for God, and therefore they've laid aside what the Bible said to try to prove a point that doesn't even exist. It's a non-issue.
Well, they have done just exactly what Jesus said. You have thrown away the scriptures and you have reverted back to the traditions
exactly.
of man. Friends, we're up against the break. The telephone number, again, is 254-445-2473. We'd love to hear your comments on this. We're going to get in just a little bit more to this evolutionary theory and the way that the state has mandated the teaching of this very kind of garbage to our own children. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. You have heard what men have had to say, and now listen to what the Word of God has to say. That's been our motto all along. Our call-in number is 254-445-2473. That is 254-445-2473. We'd love to have you call in and make comment on what we are talking about today. The email address is keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, what we have been doing thus far in this lesson is we've been going through the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 12 and verse 24. Again, in verse 27, Jesus told the Sadducees that were trying to trick him with something they didn't even believe, a question that they didn't even believe. They were trying to trap him, and he told them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures." And we find when people try to upset and overthrow God's word, it will normally be because they just flat do not know the scriptures, or they don't care about what the real truth is, as a matter of fact. And so what we have seen here is that what happened 2,000 years ago, recorded in Mark chapter 12, with those Sadducees, they were building an improbable situation, throwing in at Jesus and trying to get an answer that they wanted to have. They didn't even believe the question that they were asking. And so we find that today many religious leaders, as were the Sadducees, they have the very same kind of problem. They come up with improbable situations and they ask questions about things that they don't even believe. And we brought to light here the Vatican, what the Vatican is doing right now, and they are saying that they are going to be involved in a great partnership with a bunch of scientists, and they're going to try to find extraterrestrial beings. They're looking for life in outer space. And their quote is, "Just as there is a multitude of creatures on earth, there could be other beings, even intelligent ones, created by God." And they say this does not contradict our faith. Now, we read in just a moment ago before the break, we read in Genesis chapter 1 how that God created everything. All that in it, the earth, the heavens, and all that in it is, he looked at it, everything that he had made, and he says it's very good. So we're right back to this very same problem here with these guys as Jesus was having with the Sadducees. And they are neglecting the scriptures, and that's the reason that they're doing what they're doing. Now, Terry, I said that right that time. Terry, you had a passage of scripture there in Mark chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and you wanted to make a comment about what happens when you throw the scriptures away. Would you just take off on that with us?
Well, if you look back at verse 8, just to read it again, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." If you take the Word of God out of the picture, can you imagine what a Pandora's box of problems that you're opening up in society? Not only, of course, the issue of creationism, but now let's go one step further. How about morality? What about law, any kind of law? Each man is allowed to do whatever is right in his own mind. Whatever we can think of is okay. We have no standard, no absolutes to go by, and that's the direction that our society is trying to take us today. We want to be able to do what we want to do and not answer to God, not answer to God's word, not answer to anyone, and to devise our own authority. And that authority is ourselves. Now, David, you know that would get our society, our world, into a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. But that's where we are. Well, and that proves in morality. You see that in morality.
Well, yeah, it's. I think we have virtually reached that point right now. When you look at when you look at the standard that some people have chosen to live by, not God's standard, but living a man and woman living together outside of a marriage relationship. And by the way, God condemns that kind of relationship in His Word, and yet there are religious bodies that have no problem with it. And they will say the same thing that this Catholic man here is saying, this does not contradict our faith. Well, it's because you didn't get your faith out of the Bible is the only reason it doesn't contradict it. You take homosexuality, you got the very same thing. And we are pounded day in, day out. You cannot read the newspaper, you cannot listen to the radio. You can listen to KEQX, by the way. I don't think they'll promote it. But you can't listen to some of the newscasts on television or radio, the newspaper, it doesn't make any difference, where there is not something said about homosexuality. We are imposing this on our children at a very, very early age. We are throwing out the standard of man, and we're making out like traditional values mean something. And they mean absolutely nothing without the backing of the Word of God. And morality, right. You start throwing away the Word of God, you have no morals.
You do not. You don't. We're no different than the wild animal.
That's right.
And whatever works for that lion, killing the zebra, works for us. And then it's unfortunate, and it's scary. I mean, it's real scary. When you start talking about, of course, I know that they try to kind of clean this mess up by saying, well, you can't infringe. I couldn't, for example, infringe on your rights, David, to impose my thoughts or my feelings or my thinking. But then again, who established those rights?
Right, exactly. I was talking to a friend of mine, well, a mutual friend of ours, Rick Popejoy, up in Oklahoma today, and we were talking about atheism, and I told Rick something. I truly believe this. I know that there are atheists out there who do not believe in God that are... they have a standard of morality which they have made up of their own, and I told Rick, I said, well, I guess that would be the dumb atheists, because if you throw God out of the picture, you have no moral standard whatsoever. So why can't you make money any old way you want to, any old greedy way? There is no law. Any unlawful way that we consider to be unlawful, it wouldn't even exist, because you can just do it any old way you want to. So I contend that an atheist that has his own set of ethics of morals is a dumb atheist, because if he is truly an atheist, he can do anything he wants to and never have to answer to anybody.
It makes you wonder, even at that, if a lot of these people who profess this atheism, or even agnosticism, if these folks in reality don't want to believe in something. I mean, God created us in His image. God created us to worship Him. That's our reason, our being for existence. And if we don't do that, then there's got to be something that we enthrone in our hearts, something that we put in our hearts to worship, to follow, some kind of a guide, some kind of an authority.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like they're wanting to believe in something, but as their philosophy will not allow it.
Well, this idea of throwing God's word out and relying on traditions is just exactly what we're dealing with here. With the latest, and by the way, this article came out in the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Anybody can pick it up. It came out last Thursday. In the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, evidently the Vatican wants everybody to know this. Evidently they're very proud of this idea that they're going to explore the possibility of God having made some intelligent human being that He didn't tell us about. And yet the Bible tells us that He made what He made, and it's right here, and He tells us everything we ever wanted to know about life and godliness is in this book. So we have a tremendous contradiction between what the Vatican is saying that they're doing and what the Word of God says that it is. Now, either faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, or it doesn't. Now, God said it did. I'm going to take God's side on that. So if I get my faith, Terry, it's got to come out of the Word of God. It can't come from a scientist unless he's preaching out of the Word of God.
Exactly. Well, one of the things I think that's interesting in this article is they have to rationalize what they are doing. And the rationality comes from a statement. It says this: there is rich middle ground for dialogue between the practitioners of astrology and those who seek to understand the meaning of our existence in a biological universe. By the way, I put the question mark in there.
Yes.
They put it as a statement. Now, here's the big thing. I don't have to prove anything about my existence in a biological universe. God tells me everything he wants me to know about my existence in this universe. It's not about this universe. It's about my relationship with God. What they're trying to do, of course, as you have said already, they're trying to take God out of the picture. They're trying to move us into this existential universe and make us accountable to some kind of a higher philosophy of good for our universe or our society, separate and apart from the Word of God.
Right. You know, when you start making statements like seeking to understand the meaning of our existence in a biological universe, what you have done is you have stepped over creation and you have stepped into evolution.
Is that exactly right?
You have stepped into evolution. There is absolutely nothing different than coming from an ET and coming from a monkey. There's absolutely no difference whatsoever in coming from one or the other. And what they're saying is that we have something out there God hadn't told us about.
Why do they think everything has to revolve around the universe? That kind of goes back to Romans 1. You know, the Gentiles. Remember what Paul said about the Gentiles?
Right.
They worship the creation rather than the creator.
Right.
Are we that different? Are we that far removed from those people and what their philosophies?
No, we're going down the same road, and people haven't changed. We may live in the 21st century, but the first century Christian, the first century people that the inspired writers wrote about are no different then than we are today as far as our moral character is concerned. And if we are not bound by God's will and God's word, if we're not bound by that, then we throw it all out the window. There is absolutely nothing to hold us from doing anything that we want to do. I mean, right now we are living in a society, Terry, that is trying the very best of their ability to force on the rest of society homosexual marriages. Now, what I don't understand is they threw a man in jail the other day for having sexual relations with a boy, and he just happened to be a few years younger than a marriage partner would have been. Now, why did they throw him in jail? If that was wrong, if we want to accept homosexual marriages as being right and legal and moral, and we're going to give them all of the health benefits on insurance as married partners, why is that wrong? And on one side, why is that right? And it's wrong for them to have some kind of a relationship with somebody that's not of legal age. Who made that law? And how long will it be before we strike down that law too? How long will it be? You know, I believe it was in 2004 that we struck down the sodomy law in Texas. Now, in other places, they struck it down a long time ago, but I think it was 2004 when we finally got it struck down in Texas. I thought it was horrendous that we ever did it because it's immoral. It was immoral to God then. It's immoral now. That has not changed, Terry. It never will change. And for people to accept this as something that is normal, they are going way beyond the faith that is revealed through the Word of God.
They have laid aside the commandment of God for the teaching and tradition.
And that passage just keeps coming up over and over and over again. When we're talking about morality, we are talking also about throwing that word out. Now, when we start teaching, and we need to get into this in our next segment, and by the way, the number is 445-2473 if you're a local caller, 254-445-2473, and if you want to email us, you can do that at keqx@rocketmail.com. And we're talking about throwing away or casting aside God's word and relying on man's tradition. And all that is man's teaching somewhere down the line, and somebody picked it up, and now it's become a tradition of some sorts. And what we have done is we have taken this evolutionary theory, the tradition of man, and we have injected it forcibly into all of our state-mandated schools, and we have forcibly injected that into the hearing of our children, and from a very early age now, and we have this now for about three generations, we have been teaching our children, through our school system, by the way, our governmental entity here, we have been teaching our children that God did not create human beings, God did not create the earth, and we are casting doubt on children of a very early age that really at that point in their life they don't have the rationalization to try to figure this out of themselves, and it's just all one-sided. We cannot go back in there and say, but yeah, this is what creation teaches, this is what the Word of God teaches. We can't do that. And so we're right up against the break, folks, and we want you to give us a call. We want to hear your comments. 254-445-2473. We're talking about throwing God's word out the window and relying on the traditions of men. We'll see you right after the break. Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. You have heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. This is a live call-in talk show. And the telephone number is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Our website is down for the day. It's going to be up in a matter of days, and it's going to be better, we are told, than it was before. We certainly would like to see that. but be that as it may, the only way that you can get to us today is either through email or the telephone, so be sure and pick it up and give us a call. What we are discussing today is the fact that Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 and verses 24 and 27, when he was approached by some religious leaders of his day, asking him questions in probable situations and things that they didn't even believe. And he told them, he says, you do greatly err not knowing the scripture. Now that word err means that they have drifted astray. They had gone astray from the true course. They had left the word of God. And we have also read on several different occasions, Mark chapter 7 and verse 8, where they had cast away the word of God and they had reverted back to their old traditional ways. Whatever was traditional of man, that's what these individuals were doing. So we picked up this article out of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram from the Vatican, from the Catholic Church. They're certainly not ashamed of what they believe. They want it in the paper. And these individuals are saying that God created, it is highly possible that God created intelligent creatures that don't live on this earth. And they are in the process at the Vatican Observatory of hiring a bunch of scientists to get together with this fellow by the name of Jose Gabriel Funes. I refuse to call him a reverend, but his name is Jose Gabriel Funes, and he is the astronomer and director of that Vatican Observatory. So he has the authority given to him by the Pope to make these claims that he's claiming here. And what he is doing is throwing out the scriptures, throwing out what God has said about creation, and now he is coming up with his own traditional kind of values. He is coming up with something that is not scriptural, yet he will say this does not contradict our faith. And that is just a bunch of hogwash, folks. I don't know how else to put it, but our faith, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, says our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the faith that I have, the faith that God wants, that he has revealed to me through the scriptures, that is the faith. It has become my personal faith, and it only comes through the scripture. It does not come through tradition of man. It certainly doesn't come from a scientist, and it does not come through this evolutionary theory. However, because it is injected into the minds of our children through a mandated system in our governmental sponsored schools, because it is mandated there, we have a real problem with our youngsters today in not believing God, because everything about evolution will contradict what the Bible has to say. Terry?
I think it's interesting that a lot of people, you know, there's another event that's happening throughout our world today, and that is that they want to try to marry current thought on evolution with the Bible. So that what they try to do is marry their philosophy with with what God has said. Well, you know, that don't work because there's going to be a lot of contradiction. But you see, in order to prove a point, they want to hold to the teachings of the Bible, but yet they want it to say what they want it to say. And they still, even though they would deny this, they have taken the Word of God and they have cast it aside to prove their point. And we have that when you look at the book of Mark chapter 10, mm-hmm. verse 6.
Right. You know, what does
here,
that say?
Well, you know, here in Genesis 1, it says that God created man and woman. Now, a lot of people would say, well, no, that's not inspired. The first 11 chapters of Genesis is not through inspiration. So, therefore, man comes from this primordial soup, and he evolves into what we are today from this prehistoric creature or being. And now, if that's the case, then Jesus himself, and they want to hang on to Jesus, but they can't do it because Jesus himself believed and he taught that God created man and woman in Mark chapter 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. You know, we're talking about the firmness of Christ and the way that the Pharisees and Sadducees had tried to trap Jesus. And they were talking about, in this context, that they asked Jesus, they challenged him, well, why did God give a writing of divorce? And so he's explaining it wasn't God that did that. That was Moses. From the beginning, it was not so. And then he says, this is the way God intended it at the beginning. So in Jesus believed in the creation.
Absolutely.
You cannot marry evolution with the Word of God. You can't have it both ways. You can't have this theistic evolution like a lot of people would like to propose. It is an impossibility.
Well, another thing, Terry, I'll get this right before the hour's over. What we have in the first, actually, 12 chapters of the book, of the Bible, is how God put all of this together. And he shows us his power, he shows us his magnificence, he shows us his glory, in that he created all of this by fiat. God spoke, and it happened. And you can just read over and over and over where it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then we go down and it says, and God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And God said, let there be lights. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Now, when he's talking about making man in his own image, he's talking about making man in his spiritual likeness, in his spiritual nature. And that's just exactly the way that we were created. He created us in his spiritual nature. And chapter 2 of the book of Genesis and verse number 7 tells us just exactly how he did it. In verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the breath of God became the soul of man. The soul of man is the breath of God. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, everything that man is came because God made us. And when now we have God's account of creation, and Jesus over here in the New Testament, he believes God's account of creation, or he wouldn't ever brought it up. He says God created man and woman. He made them in his own image. He says this over here in the New Testament. And so we can't have it both ways, just as you just got through saying just a moment ago. And yet evolution is injecting into the minds of malleable young children that we come from slime, and we just make our way up through this evolutionary ladder. And the first time you turn on the, and I love the National Geographic shows. I love to watch those things as much as anybody else, or the Learning Channel, or whatever it be. But when you get in a nature channel on your television, the first red flag that ought to be jumping out at you, millions and millions and millions of years ago, this is what God did. No, excuse me. This is what happened. We evolved. But there are no such things as millions and millions of years ago. The Bible clearly tells us that somewhere around 6,000 years ago, all of this took place. And because of evolutionary, the evolutionary theory's problem is time. they cannot make evolution fit unless they have time and lots of it. And when I was in high school, Terry, when I was in high school, it was something like 200 million years ago. That was the top number that they came up. And they would that was very seldom used. It was something like millions and millions. But then later on, I start noticing that this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It won't slow down. Now we're in the billions of years. And now that we've spent all of this money in this United States of America, I guess trillion will be the next word that we get to use.
Well, one of the things that I think that's amazing to me is that in actuality, too many times that they have based this teaching, this doctrine of evolution, on nothing, not fact. It's on speculation. Darwin's whole thought of evolution was nothing but a theory. That's what he called it. That's the way he proposed it. And now all of a sudden we've gotten so smart that we've gotten out of the realm of speculation and said this is the way it is, yet without any more fact than what Charles Darwin had. It is not a fact. It is based on a theory. Evolution was a theory, and not a good one at that.
Right.
Because there are a lot of holes in it. And Darwin realized that. And what these people, what bothers me is the dishonesty that comes from the realm of science and trying to prove and fabricate their thinking. And that's not based on concrete evidence. This is something to me that is of great concern. Of course, you know, if they were to prove that God created the heavens and earth like the Word says, then what would happen to all the millions of funds used in research?
Right.
Well, they want that money. And so in order to get that money, they've got to base their philosophy, their quote, fact, unquote, on something that does not exist.
Right. Well, you know, the sad part about this is even denominational religious bodies, even those that are in error, they have in the past stood up for creation. And now what we have here is a major religious denominational body which is in total error going here, absolute total error. This is not the only error they have. We could spend two or three programs on the error of the Catholic Church. But here in this Vatican, what we have here are these men who have set themselves up in positions of authority, religious authority, for millions and millions of people. There are a lot of Catholics in this world. And now they're going to read this. They're going to see that even their own leadership is saying here, I don't believe in the Bible. That's what their own leadership is saying right here in this statement that they're making, saying that this does not contradict our faith. Certainly it contradicts our faith. If your faith comes from the Bible, it certainly will contradict your faith. And if it doesn't, then there's something wrong with how you got your faith. Now, the phone number is 254-445-2473. We want to hear from you. Call us. Give us a call. Tell us what your comments are. Ask us a question. And it doesn't even have to be about what we're talking about. We can go into another area if you like it. But what we're talking about here today is Jesus, a man of firmness. And he was extremely firm in rebuking these leaders of religious bodies in his day. He didn't back off a bit. He was extremely firm. And I don't get the concept of a lot of people's idea of Jesus. They see a man that is a tremble chin, that won't stand up for anything. And what's the problem is here is they're making Jesus into what they want him to be, not what the Bible represents him to be.
And you know what a lot of people miss about Jesus? You know, he is a man of firmness. That firmness was based on love. First of all, he had a love of the Father.
Right.
It was his will that he came to do. But there's also a love for man. He sought the salvation of man. But the only way that man can be saved is through the will of God. That firmness was based on his love. Because if he wasn't convinced or convicted in the teachings that he had given that came from the Father, then how could he convert anyone?
Mm-hmm.
But what people miss is that it was love-based. It was founded on his love, first of all, for God, his Father, secondly, for the love for us to tell us the truth and not to leave us hanging or dangling in some of this philosophical mumbo-jumbo that we have around us today.
Well, you know, one thing for sure, you know, we have heard what men have said. We take a few simple scriptures out of the Bible. We take John chapter 17, verse 17, where Jesus told the Father in a prayer, he said, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, the truth is the word of God. The word of God is That's the right. truth. Now, when we get away from that truth, we get into to traditions of men. And that's exactly what this Vatican has done. That is exactly what the teachers of evolutionary theory have done. They have gotten away from the truth of God. When you get away from that, your morality will break down. Your truth will go right out the window. But now, what you said just a moment ago, Terry, is very important, because Jesus did what he did based on love for the Father. But Jesus also told us that you can't have God without having his word.
Exactly.
And he tells us this in John chapter 12 and verse 48. And I want to read this, because these individuals that say that you can believe this and it will not contradict our faith, they are just absolutely throwing the word of God right out the window. Now, when Jesus, in John chapter 12, when he was speaking to his disciples, here's what he had to say about the word of God. He says in verse 47, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So we see here, Terry, that we cannot separate God and the word.
No.
If you are going to believe God, you must believe his word. And that's not just having a concept. If you truly believe it, you're going to obey it, whatever it happens to be.
And one of the things that we talked about earlier, David, is here it is a week before the very death of Jesus. The concern that's on his heart at the end of his life was not his own welfare, but the authority that he came to establish. And that's what, of course, the passage we read in Matthew, Mark 12 a moment ago is dealing with is his authority. And he wanted folks to understand that it was his word, or actually it was the word of the Father that he was given to them. It didn't originate in the mind of some man or some kind of a philosophy. It originated by God. It was designed by God for the purpose of helping us. When we take the word of God and we throw it out the window, what we're doing, we're destroying ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is correct. We're just about out of time. I want to leave our listening audience with this one thought. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and I'm going right back to what this fella from the Vatican has to say, Jose Gabriel Funes. He says, "This does not contradict our faith, because we cannot put limits on God's creative freedom." Well, friends, God's creative freedom is given to us right here. God created the world. And God's creative freedom is not being harnessed through his word. That is the word that he gave us about his creative freedom. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we are told this: "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Now, friends, that word impossible cannot be altered. It is impossible to please him, for he that believes in God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Must believe that he is the creator of the universe. Must believe that he is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And friends, if you don't have that faith, which comes from the Bible, you can't be saved. And this evolutionary theory absolutely will contradict the faith of anyone.
That's right.
Terry, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I was just going to say, let's go back up to verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It doesn't get much more clearer than that.
No, it doesn't.
And that goes back right back to verse 6, what faith is, what faith is done. We believe, and by the way, it's not a leap in the dark. Our faith is based on absolute delivered fact. And the fact is, Genesis 1, God created.
Absolutely. Friends, we're out of time this week, and we want you to keep our email in mind. If you have a question throughout the week, email keqx@rocketmail.com. We thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week at the same time. God bless.